I know is that we're going to either steadily grind up or it's going to be one parabolic move.
Especially if we start to see Bitcoin shoot up like to 1, 10, 100 million. You've been studying money for over 10 years now.
Over time, more and more people study Bitcoin, more and more people figure it out, and they start buying. Governments should be buying Bitcoin. They're going to be forced into understanding Bitcoin. I personally think that's going to be after $1 million. It's almost like a war, and whoever is... It could just be a rumor, just as you said. It could be nothing.
Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, recovering CFA, Rajat Soni, in the house. But Rajat, you've been studying money for over 10 years now. So what about Bitcoin made it click? Was it the spiraling debt that we have right now? The massive amounts of money printing that we had in 2020? Tell us, what was the moment that made Bitcoin just snap for you?
I think it was a combination of just a lot of different things. Obviously, the money printing made a difference. Seeing your cost of living go up without really understanding why definitely makes a difference. I think in general, though, Bitcoin has really changed the way that I think of time. I think that's the key. So before, I used to think that my time wasn't very valuable. I'd do anything to, let's say, save a couple of dollars, or let's say I needed to return something. I would go out of my way to return something that's worth $1, $2, $5. But now I see my time as a lot more valuable than the dollar. So over time, I've started thinking about why, started thinking about what makes that so obvious to Bitcoiners. And I mean, I didn't specifically look at that, but I started looking into why that's so obvious to some people, but not others. And over time, I guess I just came to Bitcoin. I started reading the Bitcoin Standard during the pandemic, during the lockdowns. I listened to the audiobook, and to be honest, it gave me more questions than answers. I had more questions at the end of it than I really had answered. Because in the beginning, obviously, I had no real idea of what I was looking at, what I was studying. And I mean, just listening to podcasts like yours, listening to Saif Eddin Amous's podcast, it made it click. One thing that really got me, though, is there was a socialist video about how landlords are basically stealing value from society, and they don't really create any value and add it to the economy. They're basically just extracting value. And I think that really got it to click in my mind that maybe Bitcoin solves a lot more problems than we think. Before that, I was just more like a tourist. If Bitcoin was volatile, I'd get a little worried, I'd get a little scared. But after that, I kind of started looking a little deeper and I realized that Bitcoin is a lot more than meets the eye.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. It definitely is a lot when you kind of dig deep with all of this. But the interesting aspect is, you know, a lot of people get in with the number go up or everything else. You know, outside of just the freedom technology and things like that, like, is there a way that you see, I guess, you know, as somebody that's an expert in the money realm, see us getting out of this debt spiral that we're in like the current macro economy? Because it seems like we're just kind of playing on a house of cards. Is that something that you noticed and like for years you just kind of accepted, and now you're just getting to the point where it's like, well, shit, it seems like this house of cards is going to come tumbling soon. And, you know, it starts with the debt and everything else. And that's how Bitcoin kind of, I guess, spoke to you.
I'll start with this. First of all, I'm not an expert with money. Nobody really is. If somebody says that they are an expert, I think that they're probably lying to themselves and they're lying to everybody around them. You're always learning new things. You're always learning something that you hadn't thought of before. You don't know what you don't know, right? So nobody can really be an expert. So that's one thing. I think over time, the way that I saw Bitcoin was, it was something that was outside of the system, just completely separate from everything that we have today. So let's say you have stocks. Before I was kind of not even thinking of it in this way. I never even thought that the US dollar could fail. I never thought that we could even leave fiat currencies. If you think about the CFA Institute's content, there's really nothing about alternative currencies, or, well, there are alternative fiat currencies, but nothing about anything other than fiat currency being used in our day-to-day in our day-to-day lives for spending, for as a medium of exchange. So I think when you're in the finance industry, you don't really think of how the US dollar could fail. All your only goal is to make more US dollars. People around you will constantly be telling you, oh, there's cash flow, there's tax benefits, there's this and there's that, and we need to increase our yields and we need to make more in dividends, we need to do this and do that. But then I don't think most people realize that everything is just built on a pile of shit, right? The whole thing is it's built on nothing. It's built on there's no value. There's no real value to the US dollar. I think that's my point here. There's no real value to the US dollar. And I hadn't even come across that idea. I hadn't even thought of that until I came across Bitcoin. Before Bitcoin, it was all, how do I make more US dollars? How do I make more? I'm in Canada. So how do I make more Canadian dollars? How do I make more currency? How do I increase my income from my job? How do I, what new skill do I learn to climb the corporate ladder and work for more of these arrogant people at the top? How do I keep working for them? How do I keep making more and more money? How do I become one of them? Right. I think that was the goal at the time. I used to work at TD Bank. I thought I'll retire here. I'll get a great pension. I'm going to be working here for a very long time. And once I started looking into why everything gets more expensive, and of course Bitcoin was that trigger, why everything keeps getting more and more expensive, why even though we get better at production, even though we get better at making things, everything still gets more expensive, the quality is decreasing. Once you start asking these questions, why are these things happening, it kind of points you in the direction of Bitcoin. Before Bitcoin, I would personally say I was a completely different person. I was spending money on useless things. I'd buy constantly from Amazon. I'd be buying $300-$500 worth of takeout every single month. Back then, I mean, that was a lot of money. Right now, it doesn't seem like a lot because a meal is like $18. But back then, a meal would be like $8-$9, and I'd be spending $300-$400 a month on takeout alone, right? So before Bitcoin and after Bitcoin, completely different person. I think this is one of the issues with the finance industry in general. Most people haven't even thought about how the US dollar could possibly fail. They haven't thought about what could completely change the world. We've just assumed that the S&P 500 is going to be around forever. We kind of, I would even say that we speculate that gold will always be valuable, but nobody uses gold as real money. Nobody really uses gold as a medium of exchange. And that's what Bitcoin challenges, right? That's what Bitcoin changes. It changes everything about that. So right now, the financial industry isn't on this yet. They haven't figured it out. And I was one of those people up until maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And eventually they will. Eventually they're going to get it. Eventually, all the things that holds them back from understanding Bitcoin are no longer going to be relevant. They're going to be forced into understanding Bitcoin. I personally think that's going to be after $1 million. I think that's going to be after real money comes into Bitcoin. Governments, I actually feel like governments are going to adopt Bitcoin a lot faster than a lot of these Wall Street companies. Like McDonald's, for example, they recently rejected Bitcoin. Microsoft rejected Bitcoin. I think governments are going to figure it out before them, and they're going to pump the price up to $1 million. And that's what's going to really get people started into looking at Bitcoin and potentially trying to find alternatives to the current system.
So how quickly do we get to that $1 million? Because, I mean, we do have governments coming here very quickly, right? I mean, even though the United States didn't buy Bitcoin outright just yet, it seems like there's a path there. China and Russia today, as we're recording this on the 21st, a leaked report came out and said that they are now encouraging for domestic Bitcoin mining. So it seems like governments around the world, you know, are starting that arms race. But, you know, obviously governments move a little bit slowly. There's a lot of bureaucracy with things here and there. And, you know, also with publicly traded companies, you know, you got to go to the shareholders. There's a lot of delays and things like that. But it does seem Like, we're, you know, doing the polar bear plunge where we got the beach ball underneath the ocean right now, and things are about to explode. Do you foresee that $1 million Bitcoin coming very soon?
I think in general, each cycle is supposed to add a zero. But I don't know, maybe it could happen this cycle. It could happen next cycle. For all we know, it doesn't happen for another 20 years. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows when things are going to happen. I personally have no idea. I mean, all I can do is speculate, right? So if enough money comes in, it could happen in a day, right? If enough money doesn't come in, it might take 100 years. Eventually, who knows, maybe what if the US government stops borrowing? What if the Federal Reserve stops printing? All of that is definitely going to contribute. But I do know it's going to happen. That's the thing. I know it's going to happen because people are going to move their wealth from real estate, from stocks, from bonds into Bitcoin, because all of those are legacy assets. As Michael Saylor might say, they're 21st century assets, 20th century, well, the last decade, the last millennials, the last century's assets. This century's asset is Bitcoin. And eventually people are going to figure that out. I don't know how long that's going to take. Nobody can tell you. All I know is that we're going to either steadily grind up, or it's going to be one parabolic move, right? Eventually, I don't think we're going to even value Bitcoin in dollars anymore, because it's just going to be so... It's the US dollar is printed out of nothing. We can create more dollars out of nothing. So why would people want the US dollar? Why would merchants want the US dollar once they figure out what Bitcoin is? So eventually, I don't even think we're going to be valuing Bitcoin in dollars. So $1 million is going to be bearish at that point.
Yeah. So then when we get to that $1 million, then at what point do you think, like, you know, because you're saying once we get to $1 million, you know, that's when you're going to see the big institutions start to come in. And, you know, part of that, you know, of the US dollar's realm or reign or whatever you want to call it right now, is just built on trust of the US dollar. Like, the government of the United States is not going to fail. They're going to do right by us. But I feel like once other governments globally and Wall Street starts to come in, we're going to lose faith of that dollar very quickly, especially if we start to see Bitcoin shoot up like to 1, 10, 100 million. So do you think that, you know, is it going to take $100 million Bitcoin before we lose trust in the dollar? Or do you think that, you know, we'll kind of live in this facade for a little bit longer?
I think I think they basically feed on each other, right? So the reason why Bitcoin's price goes up is because we lose trust in the dollar. We lose more trust in the dollar because Bitcoin's price keeps going up, because we keep losing purchasing power in the dollar. So I think they're basically, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy where people, it just feeds on itself. And it forces the price to go up. As we lose trust in the dollar, Bitcoin's price goes up. As Bitcoin's price goes up, it's almost like confirmation bias where, yeah, we already thought this was going to happen. It's happening. So this is where the world is going. It's going to go even, it's going to accelerate. I actually think that's what's going to happen. I think a lot of people see Bitcoin still as a joke. They don't see it as a serious asset. Like, there's Warren Buffett, for example. I don't think he'll ever see it as a viable investment or something that he should hold. But then there are people who don't have as much money and they're willing to take the risks. Like me and you, for example, we definitely don't have as much money as Warren Buffett, but we're willing to take the risk with whatever we do have. And I think that's one of the greatest things about Bitcoin. It's from the ground up. So you have to build the foundation. Both of us have studied Bitcoin to a point where we can talk about it freely. I did no preparation for this conversation. I'm sure you might not have had to do as much preparation for somebody who was talking about something they don't understand, right? So I had no preparation for this. I can just talk about this. And that's because I've spent so much time understanding what it is, building that foundation. And that's exactly what Bitcoin is. Over time, more and more people study Bitcoin, more and more people figure it out, and they start buying. They put away a certain amount of Bitcoin and they're never going to sell it again. So I think from every, I don't know what the numbers are, but let's say from every buy that every dollar of Bitcoin that's purchased, maybe 1 cent is going to be locked away and it's never going to be sold again. And that's going to keep happening and keep happening until there are no sellers for Bitcoin anymore. Some people are going to figure it out after that. Like, let's say, who knows, maybe McDonald's figures it out after. McDonald's has to, at that point, sell their burgers for 10 Satoshis per burger. And that's how they accumulate Bitcoin. but then other people will figure it out much, much sooner. So for example, MicroStrategy or Strategy, they figured it out early enough that they could get 2.5% of the supply. They bought another 6,000 Bitcoin today or over the weekend or whatever, over the last few days. But that's the difference, right? MicroStrategy is using debt. They're using the current system to buy Bitcoin while other companies are rejecting Bitcoin, even though they have the opportunity. So I personally think that a lot of the companies that exist today are actually going to fail. They're not going to work anymore because let's say with McDonald's, most of their income comes from, I did a really great in-depth video on this on my other channel. But most of McDonald's, a lot of McDonald's revenue, actually not most, but a lot of McDonald's revenue comes from rental income. Mm-hmm. They're not even a burger company. So if they just replaced that real estate, the real estate they own, if they just became a Bitcoin holding company, they'd do much better. They could let other competitors build burger businesses that are much, much better than what they've built over the last few years. And that's what I think over time, the people who don't figure this out are going to fail. I don't really know when the companies are going to come in. It could be at 1 million. It could be at 10 million. Some companies won't figure it out until 100 million. But all I know is that the people who figure out Bitcoin early are going to be the ones who move ahead.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, once you see the 10, 100 million, it's going to be like the Drake album. I know you're coming from Canada. If you're reading this, it's too late, yeah. You know, on the Bitcoin ticker there. So, but with that, I think, you know, let's dive into the company aspect because I think the FASB is very fascinating. We've seen now GameStop start to come in, right? And GameStop seemingly has been dead. But I think, you know, the deep dive on McDonald's is very interesting because like you said, most people think at surface level, hey, McDonald's is a fast food restaurant. That's how they make all their money. But in reality, the reason why McDonald's has been able to keep those very slim margins on those burgers, give you the dollar menu, do these different things, even with the amount of inflation, and essentially kill off a lot of these mom and pop burger shops is strictly because they invest in real estate and do it that way, which was the hard asset, right? There was no Bitcoin when Ronald McDonald started all of this, right? But now there is. And they've been starting to get away with that, right? And, you know, they've been basically victim of the fiat world, or at least the incentives based on that, where they have burgers that are basically barely meat. They've utilized seed oils. Like before, their fries were made in tallow, like all these healthier aspects. So now do you think that the Bitcoin will essentially, one, like give the mom and pop shops a little leg up, but two, kind of, I guess, flip businesses on their head? Because you think, like, you know, if you look back 20 years, like AOL, Yahoo, like all these other companies that we barely even use or know anymore were some of the top in the world. Well, now, you know, 20 years down the line from here, we could be seeing MicroStrategy or Strategy now, as it's known, as one of the top companies in the world. And it seems like that would be a no-brainer. So do you see like basically Bitcoin flipping businesses on its head? And has Wall Street been able to even value these companies correctly, basically, at this point?
I don't think they have. I think that a lot of companies are... Okay, so let's look at it from this perspective. McDonald's has about 40 or something like $44, $42 billion worth of real estate in their portfolio. MicroStrategy has had $45 billion worth of real estate on Friday. Of Bitcoin. So MicroStrategy had $45 billion of Bitcoin. Real estate. McDonald's had $42 billion worth of real estate. So if you look at the market caps, McDonald's is worth $220 billion, while MicroStrategy is probably worth about $100 billion. When you look at it from that perspective, I think it doesn't really make any sense for people to... It doesn't really make any sense for people to want to invest in McDonald's anymore because it feels like it's massively overvalued. I know that real estate gets you cash flows, and that's part of the reason why there's a much higher market cap for McDonald's stock, and a lot of their money comes from real estate. They have this business, this profitable business that's constantly just churning out cash. But MicroStrategy has Bitcoin. And I don't think most companies, most businesses have figured this out yet. I don't think they understand Bitcoin at all, to be honest. I think 99% of the world has no clue where this is going. So the people running these companies, of course, they're they're not valuing Bitcoin. They're not valuing the stock market. They're not valuing bonds appropriately. They're valuing them in terms of dollars. When you start valuing things in terms of Bitcoin, it really shows you what where the future is going, where the world is going. So a lot of people like right now gold. So right now gold is on this parabolic run, massive run. Gold is up over 100% in a few years. At one point, you could buy 0.1 ounces of gold with one Bitcoin. Then you could buy 9 or 10 ounces of gold with one Bitcoin. Today, you can buy 25 ounces of gold with one Bitcoin. So people don't see this. All that people see is the dollar value, right? They don't like to zoom out. They don't like to go further into a company's past. They don't like to see why a company is really making money. And again, all of that is just built on a pile of shit, right? All of it is, all the pricing that we have today is built on nothing. We can create more dollars out of nothing. So of course, nothing is being valued appropriately. When you look at the value of a bond and you try to value it based on how much US dollars it's going to print, that US dollar can be printed out of nothing. The US government can borrow more US dollars and pay back your bond. So whatever you're getting paid back in is worthless. So why is a bond worth $100? Whatever the value of that bond is, I don't think people can really explain all of that. They can't tell you because they don't understand that the US dollar can be printed out of nothing. Everything is misvalued because based on just that.
The best place to buy Bitcoin in the United States and Canada is the Bitcoin Well. You could go to the bitcoinwell.com/greencandle and sign up today, and they will give you wishing well tokens. They are one of the only exchanges in the United States that will give you free sats every time you buy Bitcoin. You have a chance to win 1 million sats every time you buy. You get wishing well tokens. You flip the coin down the wishing well, and you have the chance to win 1 million sats. You heard me here, folks. 1 million sats. And on top of that, they have the absolute best over-the-counter service where you can make purchases over $50,000. And they will walk you through the whole thing. They have the best rates in the United States and in Canada. And on top of that, they have the best white glove service where they will take you through those giant purchases just so you feel comfortable. You'll get it in cold storage and it's strictly non-custodial. They are saying, we want you to experience the true power of Bitcoin and that self-custody. So go to the well, sign up, bitcoinwell.com/greencandle today. Enough for me, back to the show. Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, like, what is this? I don't know. If I had a $1 bill, I would put it up here, maybe even tear it in half at this point because, all right, like, this thing has been devalued by 99% since the time I was born, and yeah. It seems like it's going to keep going in that direction. And people realize it, I think, just slightly now, but I don't think people can really grasp the true scarcity of Bitcoin because we've never really had anything scarce, right? Like gold theoretically was scarce, or at least that's what they were telling us, right? And now, you know, El Salvador allegedly found billions, maybe trillions of unmined gold. Elon can allegedly mine gold off of asteroids, all these crazy things. So, you know, the comparison to gold is very interesting, and you stole my thunder, man. You started talking about your tweet there because I wanted to bring it up. Like, why do you think some of these gold bugs haven't gotten to the digital scarcity aspect? Is it just because by nature, the internet is infinite theoretically, or, you know, what is the one thing that they're missing here that the gold bugs haven't really come around yet?
I think they're speculating. I don't think they know what they're talking about. I don't think they know what they're doing. They just see that gold has been around for so long and they think that gold will be around forever. It's like betting on the fax machine because it's been around longer than a printer, right? Or it's been around longer than email, for example, or betting on horse carriages because cars are just coming out today. It doesn't make any sense. It's because most people don't get it. They don't understand the risks. So they just want to stay away from it. This is something that I have experience with as I do a lot of one-on-one consultations with people. And this is something that I have experience with. Most people don't want to take risk. They don't want to buy things that they don't understand. And I completely get it. They shouldn't. But there are certain things that you're never going to understand. You're not, even as somebody who's been learning about Bitcoin for 3-4 years, I'm still learning new things every single day. There are new ways to look at things constantly. So I think one of the problems here is that gold bugs don't actually understand why they want gold. They can't tell you the characteristics of money. Most gold bugs won't be able to. If you just go up to a random gold bug at some point and ask them, why is gold valuable? They probably wouldn't be able to tell you. A lot of people like to say, the price of silver is suppressed, but why is it suppressed? It's because of the supply. If there's more supply coming into the market, then of course the price is going to come down. At some point, gold will be so valuable that, the price will be so high that more and more gold will come to the market. It'll be worth it for people to exchange their gold for something else. Maybe we're going to be stuck at like 4,000 for another 20 years. Nobody really knows if that's going to be the case, but in the same time, there's going to be no more Bitcoin being created, there's going to be Bitcoin created, but nothing past the 21 million. There's never going to be more than 21 million Bitcoin. And I don't think people have realized this yet. Maybe it does come back to that point that you made where the internet is infinite, where anything that we have on the internet can be printed. If we have an audiobook or if we have an ebook, you can create as many copies of it as you can. Bitcoin is the discovery of digital scarcity. So gold was physical scarcity. Bitcoin is the discovery of digital scarcity. And yeah, most people haven't come to that point yet. Most people haven't figured it out. And they won't figure it out until Bitcoin is $1 million or more. I think people still think it's a joke. People still think it's a scam. I don't know if you know about this, but I was reported to the CFA Institute by multiple people for saying that Bitcoin is going to $100,000 back when it was 30K. These people aren't going to figure it out until it's way too late.
Yeah. And then when we get that 10X that you're talking about, right? I mean, it's a little bit more. We're recording just under 100K, but you know, we get that 10X, then Bitcoin seemingly will flip gold. Right? Because yeah. I mean, we got the 10X in the market cap here with Bitcoin just around 2 trillion, gold just around 20 trillion. And so when we get that flipping of gold, what do you think is going to happen to like the traditional financial realm? Because gold has always been that safe haven. Is that when just shit goes bananas and we're going to see some wild stuff in the traditional financial world?
I think it might take more than a 10X because gold will probably still go up, right? So let's say gold is at 25 trillion or whatever today. Let's say it goes to 50 trillion. So Bitcoin would have to go to 50 trillion to flip it. So it'll probably be a 20-25X maybe. But yeah, I think so at that point, I don't think it'll make any sense not to own any Bitcoin right now. Okay. So let's look at it from the perspective of stocks. If you own Apple stock, nobody can say that you're an idiot for doing so. Right. But if you own MicroStrategy, people will tell you you're a dumbass. Right. People will tell you you're an idiot. Oh, why are you buying this Ponzi scheme? Why are you buying this scam? I think it's going to work the same way with Bitcoin. So right now, Apple is one of the most valuable companies in the world, and it continues to become more and more valuable. So people want to hold it. People who are hedge fund managers, they want to hold it. People who are everyday retail investors, they want to hold it. Everyone wants to hold it because it's the most valuable asset in the world. And naturally, it'll probably become more and more valuable over time. So I think what's going to happen with Bitcoin is eventually when, like we said, when it flips gold, it'll be the most valuable asset in the world. And at that point, it won't make any sense not to hold Bitcoin. Right now, it makes a lot of sense not to hold it today. At that point, it won't make any sense not to hold it because right now it's seen as a speculative asset. People don't really understand it. At that point, when it's number one, everybody will want to own Bitcoin. They may not understand it at that point. They may not get it. They may not put in the time to understand what it is, but they'll want to own it. They'll speculate on it. And who knows, maybe we'll see even wilder cycles at that point.
Yeah, because I guess the narrative is that once Bitcoin gets bigger, we'll see less and less of the volatility. Now, it sounds like here that, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that we might see more volatility because more people will be coming in, which means more money. Is that what you foresee in the future?
I mean, keep in mind that the price is determined based on just what's available, right? It's determined at the margin. So it's determined by the newcomers to the market. We know that Wall Street is a bunch of gamblers. We know that they're probably taking on, at some point, they're going to start taking on leverage to buy Bitcoin. A lot of people are going to go bankrupt. A lot of companies are going to go bankrupt. I don't know if we're going to have those 80-90% drops anymore, but but I do still think that we're going to see a lot of volatility. I think we're going to see more like a staircase up where Bitcoin's price moves up, let's say 40-50%, then it moves sideways for 6-8 months. Then it keeps doing that over and over again until at some point it's worth millions. But who knows? Maybe that's not going to happen. Maybe we're going to go back to the traditional cycle where it goes up 1,000%, then it drops 70-60%. Maybe that's what's going to happen. But the way that I see it, in terms of US dollars, Bitcoin can never be stable because US dollars are volatile in and of themselves, right? Bitcoin is just showing you what the value of the US dollar really is. Over time, the value of the US dollar is dropping and it'll continue to drop because, again, there's a finite number of Bitcoin, there's infinite US dollars. So I think that there's always going to be volatility in terms of, like, let's look at it from another perspective. If we look at the Argentinian peso in terms of US dollars, the US dollar seems volatile in terms of pesos because one day maybe you'll get 1300 pesos for $100 or for $1. Yeah, for $1. So one day you'll get 1300 pesos for $1, then you'll get 1100 pesos for $1. People will probably tell you, oh, you shouldn't buy the US dollar because it's volatile. But it's the same thing with Bitcoin. One day you'll be able to get, today you can get 1,000 Satoshis for $1. At some point you'll be able to get 500 Satoshis, then it'll go to 700, then it'll go to 400. It'll move up and down in cycles. But the point here is that the US dollar becomes more valuable in terms of pesos. Bitcoin will always become more valuable in terms of US dollars. That'll keep happening. We'll keep seeing that volatility. The moves will still happen. I think we'll probably still see 30-40% moves within bull markets, within bear markets. Let's say during a bear market, falls 60%, goes up 30%. Falls another 50%, goes up 30%. Falls another 20%, goes up 40%. And I think we're going to keep seeing that. I think the hype cycles are going to continue because that's what happens when you have an asset that's completely finite, completely inelastic in terms of an asset that there's always only going to be more of.
Yeah. And I think that's the interesting part, right? Is like, we look at Bitcoin as volatile, but in reality, it's the underlying currency. So, you know, Lawrence Lepard and others, I mean, you know, he's written the big print. Do you see that as like kind of, I guess, the end all be all? Do you think that, you know, the way that the overall macro economy is right now, that that's foreseeable in the future?
I'm not an expert on the macro economy, of course, like everything else, but I do think that's possible. I mean, I wouldn't take what I'm saying for granted, but I do think that eventually there's going to be a need for printing more and more money. That's never going to stop because the entire system is built on that. People are relying on the government to free them of anything that can go wrong in their lives. People are gambling all day. Companies are gambling all day. The entire financial system is just built on nothing. And eventually the financial system where people are just gambling all day, every day, people are buying derivatives. There's massive companies that are buying stocks of other companies. It's all just a house of cards. So eventually they're going to need to be bailed out. We just don't know when. For all we know, maybe they keep gambling and they keep collapse. Maybe there's actually going to be a collapse this time. Who knows? What if the Fed doesn't lower interest rates? What if the US government isn't able to do what they need to add more money to the money to the economy? I mean, that's always possible, right? You don't really know what's going to happen in the short term, but over the long term, 100%, there's almost 100% guarantee that there's going to be more money in the system.
Yeah, I mean, when you have access to that money printer, it seems like it's that drug that just keeps on going. And, yeah. You know, you've talked a lot about, you know, the company's balance sheets and the potential of, you know, a lot of these businesses failing. Now, with putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet and kind of using that almost as a safe haven, we talked just a little bit earlier about Wall Street not being able to value, you know, companies that put Bitcoin on the balance sheet. Now, I think it's JP Morgan came out and said that they're going to give some sort of HODL premium to the Bitcoin miners. Now, but it seems like they haven't really been able to catch up and actually value companies based on, you know, this Bitcoin that they have on their balance sheet, especially Strategy. Now, when we see Bitcoin start to take off to potentially $1 million a coin, then MicroStrategy could be, or now Strategy could be, like one of the biggest, if not the biggest company in the world with the amount of just, you know, assets it'll have on its balance sheet. So especially with the way that they keep stacking. So is that something that you think is going to, you know, I guess flip things on its head, or has that already started to happen where you start to see that shift of these businesses really give Bitcoin its fair shot?
I think it'll still take some time. I don't think it's going to happen right now. I don't think people, I think people are still in that phase where they think that Bitcoin can change. I think the halving kind of, the way that I see it, the halving kind of made it more obvious that Bitcoin won't change, but people don't know what the halving is. People won't figure it out. And I think once it clicks in their minds that Bitcoin won't change no matter what, that's when they start giving it some credit. When they realize that MicroStrategy has 500,000 of something that there's never going to be more than 21 million of. When they finally start seeing that MicroStrategy could potentially buy McDonald's at some point, they could buy Microsoft at some point, they could buy all these companies at some point, because all these companies are going to be valued based on the amount of Bitcoin that they have. Eventually, the business operations of these companies are going to be a very small part of what gives them value. It's going to be the amount of Bitcoin that they have, because eventually all these companies are going to be able to accumulate Bitcoin with the services that they're selling. So McDonald's, Microsoft, for example, let's say Microsoft starts offering their suite for Bitcoin. Eventually the amount of Bitcoin that they're going to be able to get is going to keep falling and falling and falling until their entire revenue is going to be less than one Bitcoin in a year. Today, how much Bitcoin can they buy?
I'm not sure on that number, but I'm sure it's a decent amount, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, at some point, the number is just going to keep falling. It's going to fall 90%, then it's going to fall another 90%, then it's going to fall another 90%. Same thing with, I mentioned the burgers before. Today, one burger is worth, 6,000 Satoshis?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it'll be 100 Satoshis, then it'll be 10 Satoshis. Then it'll be fractions of Satoshis. Maybe we won't be alive to see that, but at some point, that's going to happen, because fewer and fewer people are going to be willing to give their Bitcoin to some company to buy the product that, unless they improve their products, of course, to buy the products that they're offering, because the products are going to keep getting worse and worse. They're going to be looking for companies that offer better products. Let's say a better burger shop opens up next to a McDonald's. It's going to take all of that business. So the way that I see it, I don't know. I don't think most people have figured it out yet. If the investors of McDonald's or the investors of Microsoft had figured it out, they would have bought Bitcoin. And I don't think they're going to figure it out until Bitcoin is much, much, much higher. And of course, Wall Street is not going to give Bitcoin that credit that it deserves, because it's different. It's separate. They can't really make money from it. How do you make, as a financial advisor, how do you make money from telling somebody to buy Bitcoin and put it in cold storage? You don't.
Yeah, the financial incentives are there, right? For them to not teach you about Bitcoin. So I think it is interesting that with your experience, you've kind of, you know, gotten to this place where, hey, now you're a full-fledged maxi. But it seems like, you know, businesses are almost going to be forced to start to hold Bitcoin, or at least giving it a fair shot. You know, because like we've seen all these votes, right? These shareholders essentially pleading to Microsoft and other companies and McDonald's, right, to hold Bitcoin on the balance sheet, but they're shooting it down. Now, when are we going to see that script kind of flip, you think? Is it going to take something? Is it going to take like some sort of collapse, 100 million Bitcoin, 1 million Bitcoin? Like, why are we seeing so many businesses be so resistant? Is it just simply nobody understands it yet?
I think that's exactly it. Most people don't understand it. I think for Microsoft, the vote was 99.5% against Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you 0.5% of Microsoft investors understand Bitcoin, or the people who voted. Can't really assume that. Oh, well, like what if, for example, a lot of the shareholder rights are given to Vanguard, and Vanguard says, no, we don't want you to own Bitcoin. Just assuming that that's, I don't know the exact details of how it happens, but basically you're giving somebody else your, I think it's called a proxy. Somebody's a proxy for you and they're voting on your behalf. Who knows? Maybe a lot of the brokerages that are voting on the behalf of their clients are voting no. this is complete speculation. I'm just saying this for fun, but you don't know what exactly the reasoning behind that is, right? I can't really say that 0.5% of Microsoft investors understand Bitcoin. Maybe it's lower. Maybe nobody really understands Bitcoin because Microsoft has worked so well for them. There's an example of a company that comes to mind. I don't know if you've heard of them, Tahini's.
Yep.
They basically built themselves up from nothing and they own Bitcoin. The reason why Bitcoin helps you as a small business to accelerate your operations is because it doesn't force you to make impulsive decisions. So let's think of it this way. When McDonald's get any cash flow, they go and buy real estate because that's what they have to do. They know that the dollar is going to devalue, and that real estate takes time, effort, energy. You have to hold it for a few years for it to even become profitable. All of that has to be taken into account. With Bitcoin, let's say Tahini's, they get some cash flow, they put it into Bitcoin. They know that over time, Bitcoin is going to go up in value, so they can expand at their own pace. Instead of being forced to expand just to basically keep the ROI the same, instead of having to just keep putting money back into the business, they can put it into Bitcoin and they can use that time that they get from Bitcoin to improve their products. So let's say with Tahini's, for example, would you ever imagine a blueberry wrap, like a blueberry wrap, basically a tortilla that has blueberries in it and it has chicken in it? Like they tested that out. I don't think many companies could test. Do you think McDonald's could test that out? Probably not, because it's going to cost them so much to roll it out. Tahini's was able to do that, and I actually had somebody who talked to me. They said, "Hey, have you tried the Tahini's blueberry wrap? They loved it." Who would even imagine something like that? And I think Bitcoin is what gives people that that chance to take the risks and to do things that aren't ordinary.
Yeah, it seems like it allows people to do kind of the unconventional route. Yes. I mean, I'm a living example of that right now. You know, I just kind of go to, right. Because of Bitcoin, I was able to take the leap and kind of, you know, make that risk of just going and being an entrepreneur on YouTube, basically, and social media and other aspects. So, I mean, I completely, you know, relate to all of that. And it seems like, you know, more of these privatized businesses, all of these, you know, government entities are going to start to move towards Bitcoin. Now, you said that governments are going to start to move towards Bitcoin earlier. And I want you to expand a little bit more on that. Why do you think, you know, governments are going to be more willing to take the risk? Because it seems like the smaller the entity, the more likely you're going to take a risk, right? Like Tahini's, privatized business, like you and I, you know, obviously got a little bit smaller of a balance sheet than maybe a McDonald's or something like that. But, you know, the government seemingly have an endless balance sheet. So why would a government be more willing to take some more of these risks, do you think, than, you know, a business in a sense?
I mean, in a way, for a government, it's not really a risk because they can generate revenue from their citizens. They can print money, right? Let's say the US government, they can just print more money if they wanted to buy more Bitcoin. To a business, if they, let's say they use 10% of their balance sheet to buy Bitcoin. If that 10% goes to zero, then they have nothing. If a government has an unlimited balance sheet, they can keep printing more money. They can keep selling more bonds. They can keep finding liquidity. If they buy Bitcoin, it doesn't really hurt them. But then if it works out for them, it could completely change the way that things work. I think because they're competing with other countries based on the currency. I think because governments are, I mean, in the case of the U.S. government has a lot to lose if they don't own Bitcoin, and Bitcoin does become something massive. I think the reason for that is the fact that the U.S. government has put all of their energy, their time into gold. They have the ability to print as many dollars as they want to. They can easily use that money to buy Bitcoin. I think it's much easier for a government because they don't have to convince their citizens that they should buy Bitcoin. I think with companies, it's different because companies have shareholders. Shareholders are voting on what to do. With governments, we in the US, for example, they in a way made Trump their proxy. and Trump is in a way, Trump and his team are making the decision on whether they should start that strategic Bitcoin reserve. I think with companies it's different because shareholders have all of their own rights. In a company that's not massively concentrated in ownership, it's probably much more difficult to get somebody to vote on buying Bitcoin. Let's say if it is concentrated, it's almost like concentrated, like Trump is almost like a concentrated shareholder. He owns 90% of the, him and his team own, let's say 90% of the voting rights, and they can just do whatever they want to. But with a company, it's different because if somebody doesn't own Bitcoin and they own a bunch of shares, they can say no. Or if they don't understand Bitcoin and they own a bunch of shares, they can say no. That's, I think that's partly why Microsoft didn't vote on it, because maybe the majority of the people who own who have control over their shares, who can vote on their shares, benefit from Bitcoin adoption not happening.
Okay, so you've discovered Bitcoin and are on the path to financial self-sovereignty, but simply holding Bitcoin is not enough. You need to make sure that it's stored properly and you are in 100% control over all your assets. So sharing your keys with third parties and taking on that counterparty risk is not the answer. The answer is pure and simple. It's uncompromising self-custody, and there's no better way to do it than the Bitcoin way. They've got over 25 years of cybersecurity experience, and their team of experts can help you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, secure your digital life, configure your privacy phones, and even establish a Plan B residency if you're looking to do so. So I'm going to help you guys out here and give you a free consultation if you take the first step and visit thebitcoinway.com/greencandle, and you can check out the boys at the Bitcoin Way and see how they can help you become self-sovereign.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I find it so hard to believe that all of these, like, I mean, if they had to make this vote, right? It means that I don't know the full like ins and outs of it, but like you have to think that somebody was proposing this idea, right, to somebody like Microsoft. So somebody had a loud enough voice in order to propose this idea to say, hey, you know, the shareholders are wanting this or whatever. But I mean, I think there's like maybe some wrinkles in there, maybe Vanguard, maybe BlackRock, you know, majority of these guys who own, you know, the big dogs who own like 80% of the stock market, the 10% that do, maybe it's exactly like you're saying, like they don't have the benefit of Microsoft and whatever, you know, owning Bitcoin because they can't make money off of that. And then they'll feed you the S&P 500 and all these things. But it just seems to me like once you kind of see Bitcoin, it's like, what the hell are you doing buying anything else? I mean, maybe you want MicroStrategy or Strategy MSTR for some sort of leverage play on Bitcoin. But outside of that, it's like after figuring Bitcoin out, it's like no other investment seems to start to make sense. And it's just mind-boggling to me that we're getting to this point where these companies and their shareholders are almost asking for them to provide more value, and then the shareholders are voting on it and saying no. So it seems like there's some sort of disconnect here. And it's going to happen. It's just we don't know when. And that's where I think the unique aspect of what we've got in this economy going with, you know, but I do agree with you that I think, you know, these governments are going to start to buy Bitcoin and move towards it a little bit quicker because there's not as much, I guess, red tape, which is kind of interesting because when you think of governments, I think, at least me personally, I think more of red tape. But we already have governments start to buy up gold, central banks start to buy up gold. Now, do you see a world where either like the US starts to print money to buy Bitcoin, theoretically, like the Fed and the government, or that central banks are going to start scooping up gold here pretty quickly?
I mean, to be honest, I don't know. If it was me, I would do it. If I had the ability to print money from in my basement and buy Bitcoin, why wouldn't I? For all we know, what if they are already doing it and they're not telling everybody?
Yeah, then I think we're going to get bonkers. But, you know, I guess, you know, the theory here is like we've get a lot of governments or at least a lot of rumors circulating. Now, do you give any weight to any of those rumors that all these governments are buying Bitcoin and just not disclosing it? Because, I mean, at least from my perspective, it seems like all these governments at least attempt to be open and transparent. And that's, I'm saying that with very big quotes here for everybody that's just listening, because, you know, it is allegedly a democracy here in the US, and, you know, they're supposed to be more open and transparent. But it seems like once the US or some other big entity announces that they're buying Bitcoin, that's when shit is hitting the fan.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I have no idea. It's I want to believe it, but I mean, you never know, right? It could just be a rumor, just as you said. It could be nothing. It surprises me that they aren't. It would surprise me if the rumors aren't true. I think that's the right answer here. It would surprise me if they aren't true, because governments should be buying Bitcoin. If they have even one advisor who understands Bitcoin and they're not buying it, then I mean, they're making the wrong decision. This is about a power play. It's like with Jason Lowry's theory. It's almost like a war, and whoever is adopting the new technology first is the one that's going to win.
Yeah, and you know, I think that that's going to be the way to go. One other interesting little wrinkle, I think, in all of this is kind of the infiltration of shitcoins into the U.S. government, right? We've had a lot of donations into that. And you've done a lot of deep dives into, you know, the alternative cryptocurrencies, I'll put that in quotes and be a little bit nicer here. But the differences between them and Bitcoin, now, you know, there's had the XRP, Solana, some of these other big ones. Now, what do you see as like kind of like one of the biggest difference? And is there really any difference between a lot of these altcoins and really what we have in the current system?
One main thing here is that, let's say with XRP, so I think most coins have one of two issues. So either they have a pre-mine and most of the coins have gone to one entity, or they have no supply limit. If I see either of those, then I don't think that coin should be a store of value. There are other reasons for why they shouldn't be stores of value, but I think that eliminates 99% of coins just right off the bat. Solana, unlimited supply. I don't know. I don't even care who owns it. I don't care what the pre-mine was. Unlimited supply, it just eliminates it. Why would I want to save in something that has an unlimited supply? Then we have XRP. 80% of the supply went to Ripple. At first, it has a limited supply of, I think it's 100 billion coins. 80% of the supply went to the Ripple team, their executives. Brad Garlinghouse, the CEO of Ripple, owns a ton of XRP. So why would I want that? Why would I save in it if somebody else has, let's say, 50% of the supply that they can just dump on me? Why would I save in that? That eliminates XRP. Then we have Ethereum. Ethereum has no supply limit. It was supposed to be deflationary after the merge. But we can see if you go to ultrasoundmoney.com, you can see, or whatever the website is, you can see that the supply is increasing. We have higher supply now than we had at the merge. So that eliminates ETH. Those are the top three coins. Then I think the only things that are really valuable or worth anything are probably stable coins, because why would you want a coin that's issued by some random company that has no supply, or it's held by some random person, when you could have US dollars and Bitcoin in your portfolio? Basically, you can have stable coins and Bitcoin. So you have the least volatile coin, and then you have the most volatile asset. So the thing that has the most growth opportunities, the most chance to go to, let's say, $10 million, $100 million, $1 billion, right? With people telling you that, oh, XRP is going to this, it's going to this, it's all speculation. Nobody really knows. If XRP were to go to, actually, this applies to really everything. Let's say if ETH goes to $5,000, do you really think that Ethereum Foundation isn't going to dump a ton of their coins? If XRP goes to, people say $100 per coin, do you really think that Ripple won't dump a shitload of coins? You'd be stupid to think that they wouldn't. Same thing with Solana. Solana was handed out to a bunch of VCs. There are people like Chamath, and then there's Jason. All these people, they're discussing how they got a lot of Solana basically for free. do you really think if the price goes a lot higher, they're not going to dump their coins? I think that eliminates the majority of them, right?
Yeah, 100%. Self-custody can be a daunting task. That's why I've partnered with Bitbox. They have the best hardware wallet. They make it the easiest to put Bitcoin in self-custody. So go to bitbox.swiss/greencandle today and use promo code greencandle and you can get 5% off your entire order. They make it so easy, all in one. You could get the hardware wallet, you could get their punch plates, you could do it all right there on that website to make the self-custody experience the easiest it can be. So visit bitbox.swiss/greencandle. Use promo code greencandle, get 5% off your entire order, and get your Bitcoin off an exchange into self-custody today. All right, enough for me. Let's get back to the show. But with that, right, I'll play devil's advocate with you.
Of course.
Right. I mean, obviously, I'm a Bitcoin bull, but like you could say the same thing. All right, Satoshi has 1 million coins. So do you think that, you know, that Satoshi eventually potentially having the keys and then dumping either this 1 million coins or something along those lines, do you think that that is a risk to Bitcoin's, I guess, path forward?
I think it would actually be a good thing if it happens. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it would be a good thing if it happens, though, because that's just an overhang of 1 million coins that are just sitting there. People are constantly worried about them. I think it would be a good thing because it would mean that that's not stopping Bitcoin from going up anymore. Who knows? Maybe if Bitcoin goes to $100 million, 1 million coins go on the market and it drops to 10 million. That's definitely possible. Or it drops to 1 million, or even if it drops to 500,000, from 100 million to 500,000, because all these coins got dumped on the market. All it means is that more people have an opportunity to become whole coiners or own 0.1, 0.01, 0.5 Bitcoin. That's all it is. The issue with, I think there's that. It's a good thing if Satoshi Nakamoto were to dump all their coins. The difference here is that Satoshi only has 5% of supply, less than 5% from what we know. And Ripple has 50%. ETH Foundation, they started off with 70% of the total supply. So there's a massive difference there. I don't think that's a valid concern, to be honest.
Okay, good. I like you. I like you debunking that, because like it seems like that's been some sort of FUD. Like, you know, what would happen if Satoshi ends up, you know, she, whatever, the group of people, who even knows who Satoshi
is. Oh, I get that comment constantly. Yeah.
It's always interesting because it's always the same FUD back and forth and back and forth. But it seems like we're starting to, I guess, cross the bridge a little bit, in a sense where more people are starting to come along and at least have questions about Bitcoin and talk to you and kind of discuss about that. And do you see it as like sort of a conflation with crypto still? Or are you seeing, I guess, more people saying, okay, I don't know about all this crypto thing, but, you know, Bitcoin, that's at least one place to start. Are you seeing that more of a trend here now? Or is it just when, you know, you see the price start to go bananas that you start getting the phone ringing?
Honestly, I don't know what the trend is. I didn't really get too many people calling me when the price went to 100K. I think everything. So there's a really great quote: all roads lead to Bitcoin. If somebody starts with shitcoins, they're eventually going to go to Bitcoin. If somebody starts with stocks, they're eventually going to go to Bitcoin. If they start with real estate, eventually they're going to go to Bitcoin. Regardless of what happens, I think the worst position that you can be in, even over owning shitcoins, over owning real estate, over owning stocks, the worst thing that you can do is own a bunch of US dollars. Right? That's the worst thing you can do, because you're completely avoiding risk. You're completely avoiding any chance of becoming wealthy. Even if somebody owns stocks, they can still become wealthy, right? Their value in terms of Bitcoin is still going to go down, but they can still become wealthy even if they own stocks, right? But if you own US dollars, you're guaranteed to lose. So the way that I see it, shitcoins are just a path to Bitcoin. When you buy shitcoins, you've acknowledged that you're willing to take some risk. For some people, it ends badly. And if they keep going, if they keep trying, they will eventually go to Bitcoin. That's what happened to me. I didn't necessarily start with shitcoins. I had a well-diversified portfolio of shitcoins, though, along with my Bitcoin. I had stocks, index funds, along with my Bitcoin. At some point in 2023, the switch flipped. And I realized that Everything else is a distraction. The only thing that you really want is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the only thing that has a truly finite supply. Companies are great. They don't really compete with Bitcoin. A lot of people do use the S&P 500 as a store of value, but the S&P 500 as a whole doesn't really compete with Bitcoin. Bitcoin competes with money. Bitcoin competes with US dollars. It competes with gold. The S&P 500 is pumped up right now because a lot of people don't understand what money is. Same thing with the real estate market. People own way too many houses. People own more houses than they need because they need a store of value. They need a reliable store of value. And real estate has worked for a while. But at some point, when the world does go to a Bitcoin standard, real estate will no longer be a great store of value. If anything, it's going to be a liability. I think that applies to shitcoins as well. I think the only positive about shitcoins is that people go through the shitcoin route and then they eventually figure out what Bitcoin is. I've seen a lot of people do this. So there's this account on Twitter called, I think it's called Lady of Crypto. She used to be a prominent shitcoiner. She'd constantly be telling people, hey, buy this coin. This coin is going to pump in the next bull market. This is going to happen. This, and now she's saying, this cycle has turned me into a Bitcoin maxi. I don't know if that's true. Maybe she's still pumping shitcoins in the background, but people will eventually go to the Bitcoin road once they figure out that everything else is a distraction. It, like I said, it happened to me. It happened to friends of mine. It happened to people I know. It happens to everyone. You have to start somewhere, but eventually you'll come to Bitcoin.
And I think that's how everybody will be. Now, which market do you see it as like kind of flipping on the head? Obviously, you know, shit coins. I think, you know, because of the nature of shit coins and what Brian Armstrong has said, there's literally like a million coins that come to them a day trying to get listed on Coinbase. Now, do you think, you know, who do you think is going to come over first? Is it going to be the gold bugs? We're going to flip that. Is it going to be the real estate market? Like, what do you put your, you know, look into your magic eight ball here. Where do you see this kind of like Bitcoin, like which industry needs the biggest flip on its head initially?
I think it's the pension funds because they have a long enough time horizon. A lot of their employees may not retire for 10, 20, 30 years. So for them, I think it would be, they have a group of people who are willing to, who would benefit massively from Bitcoin. Right there. So people who aren't going to retire in a few years, they have that few year time horizon so they could hold Bitcoin for that time. And in the meantime, let's say they buy just a small stack of Bitcoin and they keep buying whatever other distraction they want to buy. They can go ahead and do that. But I think the pension funds are going to probably be the ones that benefit the most. Insurance companies may not work that well because their claims have to come in. They have to have something that's liquid. So they may continue buying treasuries. They may continue buying bonds, but maybe their long-term savings, they'll buy Bitcoin. But as an asset class as a whole, I think the bond market, anybody who invests in bond market, I think Bitcoin is going to flip the bond market because the bond market is just going to, I don't know which one's going to happen first, of course, but I think Bitcoin is going to eventually flip the bond market because bonds are supposed to be a store of value and Bitcoin is a way better store of value.
My favorite thing about Bitcoin is meeting Bitcoiners in person. That's why I'm so excited to tell you guys about what is going on June 14th down in beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida. That's the Sound Money Soiree paired with Bitcoin Day. They're bringing a full day of great talks with amazing speakers like your boy here. And we're topping it off with a black tie event just for you and bring in that hot lady friend. We had Bitcoin cross 100K. We're all getting girlfriends, folks. So come on down to beautiful Tampa, Florida. And if you use the link below, you will get 10% off your entire order, whether you want to go to just the Black Tie event or Black Tie event plus Bitcoin Day, you'll get 10% off using the links below. Also, if you're thinking about going to BitBlock Boom in April, if you're going to Vegas in May, or if you're thinking about going to Prague in June, use my promo code GREENCANDLE for all of those. You'll get 10% off your entire order. And come bug me. I hope to see you guys very soon at one of these great in-person events. Enough for me. Back to the show.
What do you think of the whole Bitcoin bond proposals that we have going on? I believe it's like 90% in dollars or, you know, U.S. treasuries, and then the 10% into Bitcoin. Do you see that as something that, you know, I guess, one that somebody's going to really desire, because are bondholders really going to be into Bitcoin? Maybe we get a few boomers and everything else. But, you know, once we get that kind of flip onto Bitcoin, it's like, all right, pension funds, retirement funds, seemingly everybody is going to have some sort of exposure towards Bitcoin here pretty quickly.
I mean, it would make sense for them, but I mean, as an individual investor, it doesn't really make any sense to me personally. So why wouldn't you want, instead of having 10% Bitcoin, 90% bonds, why wouldn't you want 90% Bitcoin, 10% cash?
It seems like that would flip and that would happen pretty quickly too, is that 10% is going to go and increase here really quick. You know, but I guess it's also to help ride the wave of the volatility. Maybe we're in that instead of the green, we're in that 1 year of red, and it's like, okay, the bond actually looks like a smart investment because it's only 10% exposure allegedly at that time. So, you know, I think that all of these markets are going to see a flip on its head. And we've already kind of started to see that, especially in the pension funds, right? I mean, we've got the Norwegian pension fund, one of the biggest in the world, is a extremely large holder of MSTR. And, you know, the Saudi Arabian pension fund, or no, I mean, excuse me, these are the sovereign wealth funds that I'm thinking of here. Maybe I need a little bit more.
There's a German pension company that bought a bunch of the Bitcoin, the MicroStrategy bonds. This was a while ago.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised now with, you know, the traditional financial tools that MicroStrategy is now offering for these big guys. Do you think that we're going to start to see that as, I guess, almost people dipping their toe in, and like some of these big pension funds and everything else, you know, getting more exposure through like MSTR or whether it's their STRK? Like, is this opening a new can of worms just to allow people to kind of dip their toe in before, you know, we start like seeing the big wave of people going straight to just Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's definitely possible. I mean, we could see a lot of people seeing that. So I think what's going to happen is people are going to question why MicroStrategy is going up so much. And then they're going to, I think for a little while there, MicroStrategy was one of the most traded stocks in the entire world, or in the entire US market. And that's probably getting a lot of people to question it. I don't know if people are just going to dip their toes in the water. I think they're going to go all in.
That's when things go bonkers. Yeah. I mean, yeah. MSTR too, it's so interesting to me because like, if you really look at the overall trading volume, it trades like a Mag 7 stock, and it's clearly not there in the market cap, at least yet. You know, like I was lining out a little bit earlier, you never know when Bitcoin prices pump, like how that's going to go and where we're going to see companies kind of take that. But I think that this experiment that we're seeing here is now going over into GME and, you know, some of these other companies. And the interesting part of GME is, you know, they've got a lot of cash on the balance sheet and other aspects. And their first buy that they're doing is 6x bigger than MSTR's first buy of Bitcoin, which I don't think a lot of people are really talking about. The orders of magnitude that they are bigger. So, you know, once we start to see some of these companies come in, I think we're going to start to see some craziness, as well as just the FOMO from around the globe. So, you know, I'll take some coin from the good old friend BTC Sessions here. With the rest of 2025 here still ahead of us, what makes you so bullish here going forward when we've been in kind of uncertain economic times with tariffs and other things?
I mean, the way that I see it, even if it doesn't really matter if the buys are bigger, they're not going to be able to get the same amount of Bitcoin. So if, let's say Warren Buffett has $100 billion or Berkshire Hathaway has $100 billion in cash and they want to buy Bitcoin. Once Bitcoin's price goes to $1 million, even that $100 billion buy is only going to get them a fraction of the amount of Bitcoin that MicroStrategy has as a whole. Right? So those buys have to increase for them to even get fractions of the amount of Bitcoin that MicroStrategy has. So I don't know. I don't really think that makes a difference. I think the people who are participating first are always going to benefit. Let's say for us, for example, we might have, or people at our level, they're going to have the same amount of Bitcoin that MicroStrategy is going to, or sorry, that let's say I mentioned at one point Microsoft's entire revenue stream is going to be one Bitcoin. people who have one Bitcoin are going to be making, they're going to have more Bitcoin than Microsoft is earning in a whole year, right? So the buys will continue to get bigger. Like with GME, their first buy is going to be, I don't know if they're, is that the bond that they were referring to? They sold a convertible bond, $1.something billion.
I believe it's like $1.3 billion worth.
Yes. So regardless, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Regardless of what they do, I don't think they're going to catch up. And when they, if they try to catch up, they're just going to pump Bitcoin's price even more. They're going to make MicroStrategy even more valuable. So it's like that flywheel effect, right? MicroStrategy put in the time, the effort. They made the small buys, the consistent effort that starts pushing the flywheel. And then after that, everybody else starts pushing their flywheel. So GameStop is going to start pushing Microsoft's flywheel. When GameStop starts buying Bitcoin, price goes up. MicroStrategy can now start issuing more debt to buy more Bitcoin. It just makes them even more powerful. So everybody who came in line after MicroStrategy is not going to be able to get even close to the amount of Bitcoin that MicroStrategy got. I don't think there's ever going to be any other entities that get to 500,000 Bitcoin. So that's one thing. What makes me bullish about 2025? I mean, everything that's happening. What's there to be bearish about?
I mean, I don't know, man. That's why I'm asking you, because I just feel like I want to run through a wall with all this Bitcoin price action. And then when you're talking about, you know, MSTR, and I kind of like to call it the flywheel, or Sailors coined it as the infinite money glitch. It seems like, you know, he's doing all this like in public. So eventually people are just going to start shorting the previous system and going into the future system of Bitcoin. And then that's going to collapse the current system, I think, at a pretty accelerate rate. But it's going to make Bitcoin just, you know, it's going to be all bets are off. And I think that that's where we're going to see some unique times, to say the very least, ahead of us here. But Rajat, you've been very generous with your time, so I really appreciate you coming on the show. Why don't you tell people where they can find out more about you and what else you got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to, you can watch my content. I post a lot on YouTube. Basically post daily on YouTube, on Twitter, posting regularly. If you just search for Rajat Soni, you'll find me. I'm the bald guy, so you'll find me. If you search for my name on YouTube, I'll be the top search result. And I think everybody's going to figure it out. Eventually everybody's going to figure it out. And just to answer your question there, I want to just go back. What's so bullish about 2025? Governments are starting strategic Bitcoin reserves. That on its own is bullish. People actually think that's bearish for whatever reason. They think that Bitcoin is not supposed to be used by governments, but no, that's not the case. I think Bitcoiners have been saying this for a long time. People have been saying this for a very long time. Governments are going to adopt Bitcoin. Everybody's going to adopt Bitcoin because Bitcoin is money. Bitcoin is base layer money. It's market money. It's not fiat money. Fiat money is the opposite of market money. Market money is money that's determined by the market. Fiat currencies are determined by individual governments. So Bitcoin is market money. Everybody in the market is going to have Bitcoin. If governments start accumulating, it's just going to plan. That's all it is. Over time, I think this is going to get more and more powerful. Eventually, our podcast, our content isn't going to be relevant because everybody already has Bitcoin.
Exactly, man. And I think that that's the encouraging thing here going forward is like, okay, like eventually people are going to, you know, could just simply look at Bitcoin as money. And so then instead of, all right, what is Bitcoin? What is money? Then we're looking at, all right, how do we make more of this Bitcoin? Like just earn it instead of obviously create more. Obviously there's that fixed supply of 21 million, but I mean like just personally make some more, right? You know, earn that. And that's kind of going to be the next phase, I think, so to speak. So I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm going to link all of your stuff in the show notes. It's absolutely outstanding. You guys should definitely check him out. He's a great follow on X and a great follow on YouTube as well. So he gets the green candle stamp of approval. So Rajat, thanks so much for coming on the show. And we're going to have to do it again sometime, man, because I think you got me really bullish and hyped up here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Brendan. I appreciate it. I listen to your podcast regularly. Your content is great. You ask really great questions, by the way.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.